good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cuff, he need cut a dude.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Hey, Cudahy to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Hi-na-pi to all you toe chunks out there and everyone listening to the show here, Wendy. This is Native Roots Radio, and we're a show about Native issues, national and local. And as we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. And my name is Wakunjahade, which is distant thunder.
And this portion of the show is brought to you by the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline. They can be reached at 651-304-9986, and they're open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. for your COVID-19 questions.
Wow, you read that perfect. That's awesome.
One in a row.
Awesome. Hey, so I'm here with my wife, Wendy. And Wendy, what is your name?
My name is Hana G. Hihani.
And we've been doing this for over 3 years, and we're really excited to keep this up and keep going 5 days a week. And one thing I want to talk to you before we get to the news is that now we're going to be in Chicago and really stoked out. So we're on KFAI, the best of, mm-hmm. in Chicago and Madison.
That's
so
awesome.
Yeah. Next is the world, right?
The next is the world, exactly.
Awesome. So, hey, with no further ado, let's get to the I wanted to say the weather.
The weather. I do the weather. It's going to get really cold this weekend.
Right, exactly.
There you go.
So, hey, let's get to Ogma. Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Hi, Bougie Robert. You know, if you want me to, I could try to do the weather. I'm not a meteorologist, though. So today we're going to start out like we always do with some updates on Line 3. I know Winona's probably going to talk about them. First and foremost, I want to give a shout out to Charlie King, Alicia LaBarge, and Jeffrey Haynes for putting themselves on the line on Monday. Jeffrey was the water protector who stopped the construction for about 7 hours by climbing onto a pipe. I believe Charlie and Alicia, or Lish, I believe she goes by as well, blocked the entrance so that Jeffrey could make his grandstand climbing onto that pipe. So, chi-miigwech to you water protectors for doing that. So then that happened Monday. And then on Tuesday, so yesterday, there was 50 water protectors that descended onto the easement, and two more people locked themselves to an excavator and then temporarily shut down work again. I don't have names for those two people today, but chi-miigwech to you guys as well. So that group was led by Camp McGeezy, and you know, chi-miigwech to you as well, Camp McGeezy, for all of your hard work and everything that you're doing right now to stop Line 3. There was some interesting stuff that happened over the weekend. I know we touched base that Alon Omar had been to Bemidji and to Grand Rapids about the Line 3 pipeline, and she did release a statement after meeting with everybody on Saturday, and she wrote a letter to Biden, which was really, really great. I think my favorite part of the letter to Biden, if y'all water protectors haven't read it yet, is she says, under even the best case scenarios for climate change, we cannot afford to build more fossil fuel infrastructure. Wetlands can't heal if the climate changes precipitation and temperatures. Indigenous treaty rights are meaningless if the areas are too polluted or unstable to hunt or fish or gather wild rice. That was probably my favorite line in the whole letter, because it just point blank says what so much of the problem is. Right, Robert?
Yeah, definitely. And I want to give a shout out to Lish. She's a old water protector of Standing Rock. And I know her, and we did some peaceful protesting together. So a shout out to her and Pini-Yigi too.
Yeah, so that exciting news is kind of offset by the fact that the appeal for a stay of construction was denied yesterday. Mm-hmm. So the Minnesota Court of Appeals rejected the appeal by Red Lake and White Earth Nations to stop construction of Enbridge's Line 3 until all the legal challenges could be heard. But there's still a separate request for an injunction on construction that's pending in federal court. So both Red Lake and White Earth, along with environmental and indigenous groups, have filed legal challenges to overturn Line 3's environmental impact statement, the certificate of need, and route permit, all approved by the Minnesota Public Utilities Commission. So there's a lot of issues on the table, and there's a lot of things happening with those injunctions and legal battles. The update that I'm reading, I found on Healing Minnesota Stories, says that the Minnesota Court of Appeals has set oral arguments for March 23rd, but the final decision isn't expected until June, which would be right around the time the Line 3 construction would be wrapping up. The motion for a stay in construction was basically an effort to prevent all of the damage that could happen between now and June. So that, you know, definitely comes as a big disappointment, but I'm hoping that that means that our water protectors are going to be feeling more empowered to do what they need to do to help get the shutdown and to, continue to peacefully make their stand for Indigenous people and for all of us here in Minnesota.
Yeah, no doubt. We do need to make a stand, Wendy.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you know what? All those people who are up there who got arrested, who are putting their lives on the line, who are camping out there, they're freezing, they're away from their families, they're, you know, cooking on, you know, over fire. They're really putting their lives in danger and giving up a really, you know, sacrificing a lot of things. So really, again, I want to say thank you to all the water protectors.
Wendy, I don't want to go on a tangent, but I talked to one of our neighbors and who works for some sort of oil company or pipeline thing.
Or fracking thing. Something, yeah.
And he had no idea that there were people up there protesting.
Yeah.
So, Ogleman, thank you for bringing this out and bringing this truth out to our listeners.
Yeah, Mikowicz, for mentioning that and for, you know, giving me some credit for that. But it's definitely the water protectors that get the credit and the... you know, like Wendy said, they are really giving up a lot and doing a lot to make sure that this can be stopped. And I think that we talk about it a lot, but today I really wanted to make sure to say thank you to everybody and, you know, to tell them that even though that that disappointing news came through, that, you know, we're still with them and don't give up, you know.
Right. There's still a chance federally to stop this. And so that's what we're hoping with Omar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that you could, you know, talk to Biden and Biden's administration and really show him the science because he does listen to science. So that's on.
Yes, hopefully.
Yeah,
exactly.
Fingers crossed over here. So the other thing I just kind of want to segue into before we wrap up today is that Canada declared the Proud Boys a terrorist entity.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, stating that the far-right group includes is now added to the list that includes Al-Qaeda, ISIS, and Al-Shabaab, which actually I haven't even heard of. But that's in an effort to crack down on ideologically motivated violent extremism. And I guess I just think that it's funny. I'm sorry if any of you listeners are Canadian, but I find it funny that Canada would label, you know, the Proud Boys a terrorist entity, but then they're coming through Minnesota, and with Keystone XL, we're going to plow through the whole country to put in these pipelines to make money for themselves. Like, I'm like, great for you, Canada. The Proud Boys are a terrorist entity, but can we talk about your oil policies, please? I'm just kind of blown away by that piece of news. It's a little bit... you know, ironic to me.
Yeah, it is. And the other thing is why didn't the United States label the Proud Boys as a terrorist group?
He said, stand down. Wait, I'm about to call you.
Exactly. Stand back and stand down. Wow. Stand down and stand back.
Well, again, Ogama, thank you so much for these updates. We got a great show. We have Robert Blake with Solar Bear, and up next, Winona LaDuke. This is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back.
Dying in my wake, in my bed.
We have vital information we would like to share with you. The Department of Indian Works St. Paul partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline. They provide information on testing sites, isolation space, vaccines, housing assistance, and food resources. If you or someone you know has questions about COVID-19 or has questions to determine if you should get tested, please call them at 651-304-9986. Again, the number is 651-304-9986. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline is open for calls Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m.
Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986. That's 651-304-9986.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
MN350 is a grassroots, volunteer-driven organization fighting for climate justice and a swift transition away from a fossil fuel-based economy. To get involved, visit mn350.org, mn350.org, or find us on Facebook at MN350, building a climate movement in Minnesota.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
We are Alusa Nation.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake Wendy, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hare.
So if you have any COVID-19 questions, they have a hotline. It's the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline. Please call them 651-304-9986, Monday through Friday.
Well, we have Winona up next here, and one of the things I learned, and I wrote it down, and hopefully you'll write it down too, because you know I have a good memory, but it's short. And instead of the Deep North now, she calls it the Occupied North.
I love it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. T-shirts, I see. I smell T-shirts. T-shirts.
Exactly.
Here. Seriously. So Winona is Director of Honor the Earth, and she's been fighting pipelines. I saw an OG, an old Amster person back in the 60s who mm-hmm. called Winona No Nukes LaDuke. And so it's great to have this icon on. Welcome, Winona. For spending some time with us. I know up in the Deep North, you are so busy. And can you give us a couple updates here? I know things are going crazy today with the Court of Appeals.
Yeah, so disappointed that the Minnesota Court of Appeals did not give us a stay to protect people and our water, you know. I mean, you have all kind of things going on up here, people being forced to walk miles to protect their water on dangerous roads with speeding trucks of Enbridge, and they had a big jackknife last night. A logging truck hit a pipe truck over there by Floodwood. You know, it's dangerous times up here, and so that is one thing that we're saddened by. But fortunately, the Court of Appeals at the federal level is going to review this. And the federal courts have just been through the Dakota Access Pipeline case, where they just, again, have said, no, take the oil out. You know, and that's much further down the road. And also the Keystone case. And so, I mean, that's just to say that the federal precedents for pipelines aren't ruled in favor of the people of the water. And so we are hoping that, you know, the federal courts will again, you know, see that, because this pipeline project, being the Enbridge Line 3 pipeline project, doesn't even have a federal environmental impact statement.
Oh, geez.
The others had flawed environmental impact statements. This one, the Trump administration rubber stamped and said, use the state one. And the state one is what we are facing in court. And we have a court date, March 23rd. The tribes, the Red Lake Nation, the White Earth Nation, the Department of Commerce,
wow,
Honor the Earth and Friends of the Headwaters are facing Enbridge in court and the Public Utilities Commission on March 23rd. So put some good prayers up for that. So we got a court date coming up. Meantime, jeepers, you got to sleep with one eye open up here. Enbridge, you know, there's these 22 river crossings that they have to use the high directional drill. You know, and the thing about rivers is, I just think, you get oil in the river, goes everywhere.
Right.
The river goes, right?
Right.
And so there's 69 river crossings that Enbridge wants to make. And there's these ones that are big ones, like the Mississippi and the Willow and the Shell. She gets crossed four times. Lucky her.
Wow.
They got to use this thing called the high directional drill. That's what they had out in Cannonball, out in Standing Rock, right?
Yep.
And that one, you know, that one they can't use until it thaws, until there's no ice on the river. They cannot use the drill until it thaws. And we just learned that, but because Enbridge has been gunning for the rivers. But Enbridge applied for an exemption on that on December 11th, asking to cross the Red River, the Little Red River, the Middle Fork River, the Middle River, and the Clearwater River up in basically Red Lake territory.
Yep.
And that MPCA so far denied that, but Enbridge has the right to appeal. And so they have appealed that. So let's hope the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency protects the waters and doesn't let, you know, Enbridge do anything else that's risky, because they're already risking all our waters. So we're hoping that they don't issue any more special deals with Enbridge. And, you know, that means that people need to pray for the water and pray that the ice holds and then come to the river, you know.
Right. With
that, that's what I'd say.
With that machinery, though, when they're on frozen water like that, there's oil leaking out of them, and there's all these things that are going to add to the water, you know, just because of what they're doing.
Yeah, no. That's why they can't do that. Even in the crazy Windigo technology world of things that you can do, that one you can't.
Right.
So that must be pretty bad if you can't do that one.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, shifting ice raises hell with stuff. I mean, the thing is that, you know, let's just be honest, Robert. You know, who are you going to bet on, the river or the pipe?
Right. Right, exactly.
I'll bet on the river.
Exactly.
The river is stronger than the pipe. The river is stronger than the pipe. So pray for the river. You know, pray for the river. And you know, so we keep that good work up. And so that's kind of what they're doing in the north. And as I said, the federal courts. I got my charges. I've been charged with all kind of stuff in Aiken County. A number of us have been charged.
Oh.
And I was charged with trespassing, unlawful assembly, attendance at unlawful assembly, a harassment charge, and I think I even got charged public nuisance. That was kind of a low blow.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, I think a number of us, the civil rights, the charges are increasing for people who are water protectors in northern Minnesota, and I think that crime stemmed from when I was I was dancing and praying at that Enbridge, you know, that site that Enbridge claims. But,
right,
you know, we'll see. But, you know, on the bright side, spring is coming.
Right.
The spring is coming. And we are going to have our hemp conference.
Yes. Yes, I'm excited for that, because that is the new Green Deal.
The new Green Revolution.
That's right.
You know, one of the things that makes me so sad is I have to spend all this time trying to deal with the Enbridge Corporation, which is such a last century idea. So bad. So bad, when we could be growing cannabis, making the new Green Revolution.
Yeah.
And building a hemp economy. Well, I talked to Turtle Mountain, and they have their hemp permits and their USDA certification, and they're all ready to work on some hempcrete and some hemp tribal housing. And I want to do that. And a lot of us are getting ready, so we're getting our seeds. And March 5th through 7th, the 5th through 8th, mm-hmm, is our Indigenous Hemp Conference.
Wow.
And also our Indigenous Farming Conferences. So, you know, people should look for the announcements and save the dates. And
yeah,
you know, spring's going to come, and let's plant some seeds and let's grow with some water.
Say, Winona, we got like a minute left, and it might be unfair to ask you this to explain this, but I know Enbridge had frozen sandbags, and when they put a pipe in with frozen sandbags, the pipes are not straight. Am I correct when they put the piping in? So right away we have a problem with crooked pipes and leaky pipes. Is that what?
Okay. Well, first thing on the pipes is the pipes have been hanging around for 5 years.
Yeah.
And they've been turning them over and painting them and repainting them to make sure that they're all good and copacetic. So we just put this little video up there called Be the Public or something. I just little video of me skiing in my ski bunny outfit out there on the Willow River. And you see these guys from Enbridge, and they're putting in a pipe, and they have this like thing, a big like wand, circle wand going over it. You know, it looks like that thing for bubbles, and it would beat. And when it would beep, they put a circle there. They draw something on there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that pipe went in the ground by the Willow. So I kept asking, like, what's the beep?
Right.
What's up? You know, so one, pipes are old. Pipes are faulty. Those pipes are going to leak. Those mm-hmm. welds are going to leak.
Mm-hmm.
Two, you know, add crazy things like sandbags. Try to do stuff in the middle of winter. Do big rush, you know, because you want to get it all in before the Indians take you to court.
Right.
Exactly. I mean, come on. Let's just stop the mess now, you know? Give those guys all a good job in cleaning up and removal,
exactly.
You know?
God. Well, Winona,
feel bad for the situation, and we want a way out for everybody. You know, I don't hate pipe fitters. I don't hate nobody. But I love my water more than I love their money. So, you know? Right?
Exactly. And we'll end with that. Peeny Gigi Winona, for all you do.
Yeah, me Gwich, man. Thanks for the call.
We'll talk to you soon. That was Winona LaDuke, Wendy.
Yep, of Honor the Earth.
Yeah.
She's really something, and she says it like it is, and I just love her. I think she's fantastic.
Yeah, I agree 100%. The energy that she's been has to use, and it's funny that she said that, basically said we could be doing better things other than fighting a pipeline,
mm-hmm.
and it's sad that we have to do this because
exactly.
of the new economy and mm-hmm. things that she works on, because, you know, Winona's a hemp farmer
mm-hmm.
and a water protector, but, you know, she got her teachings and schooling as an economics,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
and she is a very smart person.
Yeah, absolutely. And I loved, you know, what you said earlier is that she's been doing this for 20 years. She's been fighting the fight for 20 years. 40 years.
You see those pictures from AIM, that book that the late Laura did for on AIM.
Mm-hmm.
I have a couple of those We're Still Here book.
Yeah.
There's a picture of her there speaking, and she's mm-hmm. like 19 years old.
Wow.
Yeah. So
this has been it's in her blood. I mean, it's what she cares about. It's, you know, part of her DNA.
Yeah. And she's been doing it in a good way for mm-hmm. a long time, and we're glad to have her up there because Winona has clout, but she also has recognition.
She has clout.
She ran for a vice president.
Yeah.
I remember we got to talk to her.
She's well-respected, and when you're a person who is well-respected, you also have enemies, so that's okay too, because if you're not making somebody mad about something, then you're not doing anything, right?
Really good point. Really good point.
That's a kind of a parody of what Winston Churchill once said.
All right, did you get that from the show of The Crown?
No, I didn't.
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and that was Winona LaDuke. Up next on the iPad, Bob Blake from Red Lake, Robert Blake with Solar Bear. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Ma we ima pes ne ikaya waemi ni ma we ima pes.
Robbins Kaplan LLP protects and defends American Indian tribes. With its American Indian law and policy practice, Robbins Kaplan LLP seeks to redefine excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country. Founded and led by former United States attorneys Brendan Johnson and Tim Purden, their American Indian law and policy practice exists to bring justice to tribal clients whose claims in the past have been dismissed or ignored due to their underdog status. Their American Indian law lawyers understand the challenges tribes face when state state and local government infringe on tribal sovereignty and the federal government neglects its trust responsibilities. Their passion for tribal sovereignty and self-determination is the driving force behind their practice, fueling their tribal advice and advocacy, especially when tribes are forced to litigate against powerful interests. Robbins Kaplan LLP, representing American Indian tribes, tribal government boards and commissions, individual tribal members, and American Indian business and business concerns. For more information, visit robbinskaplan.com.
While shopping for a fireplace insert at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, I was amazed at all the choices. Not just gas, electric, or wood-burning, but also built-in or freestanding, and options in every style from antique to modern. The staff really listened to us, explained the options, and helped us choose a fireplace we absolutely love. Now it warms our hearts and our home every winter. Thank you, Woodland Stoves, for a great addition.
Hi, I'm Peter Solak, putting in a word for the EPA Burn Wise campaign. It has important information about clean burning fireplaces. This is an important part of our mission at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces. We know that the fireplace has to work. Work with your life, work with your living space, and also be environmentally smart. Come see us. Learn to burn wise. We have over 35 working units on display at the corner of Riverside and East Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. Visit our store in person or online at woodlandstoves.com.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, out of the ordinary products and services since 1977.
Hey, Cudigee to everyone. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio Network. In 2017, as a response to the shocking events that transpired at Standing Rock and the lack of accurate and honest information coming from local and mainstream media, we felt we had to do something about it. That is why we created Native Roots Radio, then Pilot's Progressive Party, and finally, the new Native Symposium. We're still here. These shows have been supported by local businesses, and as you all know, unfortunately, they are no longer able to support us during this difficult time of the pandemic. This is why I'm here today, to ask you for your support. We feel it is so important to continue to bring this important information to you. Your support will help continue production and airtime costs. So please, if you can, visit Patreon Native Roots Radio Network and help in any way you can. Pinigi, and thank you for your support.
Hello, Minneapolis. It's Randy Rhodes on your radio in the heart of the Midwest every weeknight from 10 to midnight on AM 950.
If you're hurting in your relationship or have been affected by sexual violence, Strong Hearts Native Helpline is a free, confidential, and anonymous domestic, dating, and sexual violence helpline available at 1-844-762-8483 or by using the chat now icon at strongheartshelpline.org. Advocates offer daily support and referrals for resources, 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. Central Time.
This message is sponsored by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for a mix of rain and snow tonight with a low around 28. Thursday, some light snow with a high near 29. Friday, partly sunny with a high near 13. And Saturday, cloudy with a high near 1. Moe's Tax Service in St. Paul has been working for you, not the IRS, since 1971. They can help with all your taxes, whether you're self-employed, have a personal return, LLC, partnership, nonprofit, estate, trust, or more. Returns are usually e-filed the same day, and your refunds are fast and secure. Learn more at Moe'sTax.com.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
We are the Alusa Nation.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade.
And this portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
So, Wendy, what day is it?
Today is Wednesday, where we have Robert Blake on.
Hey, with the solar news with Solar Bear, welcome Robert Blake.
Yes, how are you doing, Robert?
Wow, we're doing great. Just plugging away. We just had Winona on, and now we have you on. So I know she's excited that she's on the same day as you as of right now. So that was pretty cool talking to her.
It's Wednesday, everyone. It's Wednesday. It is the solar news with the Solar Bear.
Perfect.
So, Robert, I've got four great stories to share with you. And you got to hear this first one, though, okay? Mm-hmm. Wells Fargo, right, is putting 30 megawatts of solar, 30 megawatts of solar arrays on 100 of its branches.
Wow.
So this is, you know, California, you know, West Coast, you know what I mean? But, you know, I really think this really, you know, signifies a shift, especially in finance, right? Because we know that these finance guys, you know, are all about the money, and we're, and they go with what is like trendy, right? Mm-hmm. You know, fossil fuels, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But they're betting hard on renewable energy, and that's really good to see, because that means then that that's more investment going into renewable energy projects. And so that's what's really exciting about this. Also, in 2018, Wells Fargo was the biggest buyer of renewable energy credits.
Wow.
Yeah, so think about that. That's incredible. And that market is only going to grow. And so you see a lot of things like blockchain. Blockchain is actually looking at being able to put their stamp on these RECs. I mean, this market is just going to explode. So we just recently saw what happened with GameStop. I'm telling people right now, start looking at RECs.
Whoa. Wendy's got some money we can play with here, right, Wendy?
These things are like going to go to the moon. Trust me. Okay. So, hey, the next story, 6,000 new rooftops installations were installed in Hawaii.
Oh.
Wow. And 78% of those included battery storage. So to put this in perspective, Robert, like, you know, basically Hawaii's this little, like, and I wouldn't say little, but it's this microgrid, right? Mm-hmm. And it's literally going all renewable energy. You know, just to get oil, just to get gas out there, it's like, I don't even know, like $6 or something like that, whatever it is to, you know, to get a gallon of gas. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, energy is at, it's so expensive out there in Hawaii. So it's incredible to see these Hawaiians all jumping on renewable energy. And I think it's great. So,
yeah.
Wow. So next story. Robert, have you heard of Lloyd's of London?
Sure have. Sure have. An insurance company, right?
They are the insurance company. They are the insurance people that basically insure anything. You know, so like if you're a hand model, right, and you need to get your hands like insured for like $1 million, they're the guys that do it. So they underwrite insurance policies for anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, get this, Robert. They are no longer insuring fossil fuels.
Whoa.
Yes. Yes. And so here's the other thing about this. My question is, then who is Line 3 getting to insure their so that their pipeline doesn't, right?
Exactly.
And the other thing about that is, if it does break, right, and if they're saying to the state of Minnesota that they are self-insuring, you know what that means, Robert. The state of Minnesota is on the hook.
That's right.
Mm. Yes. So I'm just saying, Lloyd's of London doing this is huge, and I think you're going to see a lot more insurance companies following suit. So last story here, Robert. Tampa Electric. This is a bad story.
Mm.
Tampa Electric is trying to basically eliminate new solar installations. Okay. And what's happening is Pacific Acid Electric and other utilities are watching this, because they're trying to, you know, because what's happening is so many people are installing solar around the country that it's ruining the game in the economics of the utilities.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so, you know, understand, these people got 50-year coal contracts, right? You and I pay for that coal contract that they have,
right?
Okay? But when you have solar, we're no longer paying for that coal contract, right?
Mm-hmm.
Bad move on a bad decision on the utilities part, but that's their model. Who could have ever seen the popularity of renewable energy and solar and what it's done? So, you know, I guess my only opinion on this is, everyone, know your rights and know that you have the right to have solar, and the utility shouldn't, you know, tell you that you can't. So,
right. It sounds like a trend, Robert. One of the things that we talked about last week too, with that St. Paul company suing XL because they took forever to plug in their power grid.
Yep, absolutely. And the reason why they're doing that, Robert, is because, you know, there people are, you know, if you're paying $200 a month for your electricity bill and you're no longer paying that, you know, that's money out of their pocket. And, you know, they're going to do everything and anything to go ahead and try and stop this transition to renewable energy. But I'm sorry, man, the cat's out of the bag. This thing, the train has left the station. People are going to be doing this everywhere. And it's just so exciting. Every day something new comes out. And it's really remarkable also to see so many citizens out there getting educated about energy, because it's such a big part of our lives that we never think about it. And just to see people, ordinary people, out there, you know, it's great. So
right, and you know, we try to do our best too. Wendy got a new car with a smaller engine, twice as much gas mileage, and you know, things like that.
So, and it stops at if you stop at a light, the engine shuts off because of the so the emissions are a lot lower.
Well,
and
you know,
as soon as you lift your foot off the gas, it turns right back on. It's a little bit getting used to, but I'm used to it. So.
Well, and that's the one thing I want everyone to know is that, you know, all these little things that we do really does add up, right? And so we as consumers really do have power, but we also have power in a sense, too, that, you know, we can oppose and speak to our legislators and our politicians who we vote into office to speak for us, that things like Line 3 and the pipeline and big projects like that have no place in our society when we are doing everything we can to basically, you know, make sure that there's a future out there for our children and our grandchildren. The oil companies and these utilities need to be held to the same standards.
Well, I know years ago, Robert, we talked and you said something pretty profound in one of the, and that was that we are like the Native Americans are the last people to stand up to these big oil things, big oil companies, and we are the last people to stand up for Mother Earth.
Yeah, and you want to know something, Robert? I was on a green energy summit today with tribes from around the country, and you know, I sat there for 4 hours listening to projects and things that are happening around Native country, and I'm telling you, it just made my heart so filled with so much love. You know, I was able to present also, and just to meet the people that are doing great things around this country, especially in Native country, that they're just so excited around renewable energy. And, I just can't tell you, Robert, how incredible that was to be around all those forward thinking, just Natives that are just out there like doing it. And it was really cool, Robert, to see that.
Yeah, I mean, we are done fighting with ourselves, and now we're heading towards a green new economy and supporting each other. And I think that's so positive, and I think you're so positive. Can you tell us any updates with your nonprofit, Native Sun? What's happening with Native Sun?
Yeah, we've got a lot of things going on. I mean, you know, basically, where do I start? You know, we've got partnerships forming with the Citizens Utility Board. We're doing good work with them here coming up this year, you know, and that's advocating for, you know, just, you know, better policies around low income housing, you know, with energy services. You know, there's a thing called energy burden, you know, that really does affect people, especially people of color. Right.
Yeah.
Like we really need to advocate for that. So we've got some really good things going, partnerships going on there. And then also too, you know, just really building out the project up in Red Lake, you know, there's a lot of grant writing, a lot of grant stuff like that. And so, and also too, you know, just still pursuing the project over at Little Earth,
yeah.
You know what I mean? And making sure that gets completed. So a lot of good things are happening. You know, so I'm really excited for Native Sun's future.
And we got re-upped on these tax credits, which I think is huge for, you know, somebody like Wendy and I throw on 12 solar panels on our garage roof or something and get it basically paid for. And that's an exciting thing with this new administration, too.
Oh, absolutely, Robert. And you know what? The panels for the prices for the panels are dropping, for the inverters are dropping. I mean, it's incredible what's happening in the solar industry, and it's absolutely exciting. And I'm really interested to see exactly what policies are going to be coming out of this Biden administration. This is going to be interesting stuff. As a matter of fact, today in the forum, there was a lot of talk about Deb Haaland and Walia Johns. And around native energy. So a lot of these natives around the country are really excited for these people.
Yeah, thank goodness. You know, we now have a chair at the table, and it's not a folding chair. It's a real chair, and one we didn't have to bring, and that we've been invited. And so that's really good. And I want to thank you, Robert, for stopping by. This has been great. Give us a quick pitch before we let you go.
Yes. Thank you, everyone. If you want to reach me, it's robert@solarbear.earth, robert@nativesun.org. And like the Solar Bear says, remember to solar on.
Love it. Love it. Wow, Wendy. Great energy from Robert.
Yes. Thank you, Robert. See you next Wednesday.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hi, Juoni. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakanja Hadi. And we'll be back after this short break. Wow, Wendy, just a great segment. Mm-hmm. Great way. It's Wednesday. It's hump day. It's Robert Blake Day.
Unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex. Recording sexual acts without permission. Hurting someone because of their sexual orientation. Ripping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger. Purchasing a human being for sex. You make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
MN350 is a grassroots, volunteer-driven organization fighting for climate justice and a swift transition away from a fossil fuel-based economy. To get involved, visit mn350.org, mn350.org, or find us on Facebook at MN350. Building a climate movement in Minnesota.
We have vital information we would like to share with you. The Department of Indian Works St. Paul partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline. They provide information on testing sites, isolation space, vaccines, housing assistance, and food resources. If you or someone you know has questions about COVID-19 or has questions to determine if you should get tested, please call them at 651-304-9986. Again, the number is 651-304-9986. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline is open for calls Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m.
Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986. That's 651-304-9986.
This is Winona LaDuke of Honor the Earth, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm Awake.
We are Alusa Nation.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakanja Hade. Hey, this show is dedicated to the people who give back and fight back for our people and our relatives, and all things are our relatives. What we do to everything we do to ourselves, all is one. Black Elk said that. And hey, I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy. And I underlined beautiful, even though you wrote this, I underlined beautiful.
I didn't write beautiful, I wrote smart.
Oh, it says awesome and beautiful. Okay, Wendy has been an animal advocate for many years, and she's a volunteer. And you'll tell us what organization, because the name's changed a little bit. And she works on animal issues at the state level. Welcome, Wendy.
Yeah,
tell
hi.
Us your name.
Yep, my name is Hanaji Hihani, and that means cares for them. And I am a volunteer state council member. which that title is going to be changing very soon. But it is for the Humane Society of the United States. That's the big organization, the nationwide one. I have an article here from Howling for Wolves. And as you know, Howling for Wolves is one of our sponsors, and they are an organization working to save wolves for our future generations. But this is what they posted here. We're upset to report that two more wolves in northern Minnesota and studied as part of the Voyagers Wolf Project have been found illegally killed, which goes to show how much wolf killing takes place when they were on the endangered species list. Disgusting, pathetic, and illegal. We need to do more to change attitudes towards our wolves. And what they did was they posted a WCCO Channel 5 News article and it was written by Jessica Miles, and it was dated February 2nd. Two collared wolves killed in northern Minnesota found after transmitter continued monitoring after the wolf was dumped in the frozen river. The Voyagers Wolf Project was created to study wolves in the northeast part of the state during the summer months, but it's what happened during the winter that is getting some attention. In November 2020, the wolf just kind of disappeared off the map, and we didn't know what had occurred, said project lead Tom Gable. But a few weeks later, the two-year-old collared male started sending GPS signals and data once again. The locations were in the same spot. The locations were in the same spot every day for about a week, which was pretty good indication that the wolf was dead, or at least the collar was in a spot and wasn't moving, Gable said. That location was near Orr, Minnesota, O-R-R, and it's way up north up U.S. Highway 53, and Orr is in the city of St. Louis County, so it's way up there.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay, so that location was near Orr, Minnesota. Last month, Gable and his colleagues headed out to find the wolf, never guessing what they would discover. The collar was on the edge of the river, and we quickly realized that the wolf was under the ice, Gable said. With sledgehammers, hatchets, and other tools in hand, they started chipping away at 10 inches of ice. We tried to, like an archaeologic dig, cut a circle big enough out so that we didn't damage the wolf's body or the collar and could get the whole wolf out in one piece, he said. Gable suspects the wolf was illegally killed in November, then thrown into the river, and despite being in the water for 2 months, the transmitter was still working. It was pretty surreal standing there in the iconic winter scene and to be chipping through the ice to recover the full body of an animal that had died 2 months earlier, he recalled. It is one of the two collared wolves recently found dead, another just recovered near Grand Rapids and also believed to have been killed in November. While Gable said the deaths are not a concern for population density, it is disheartening. Even if whoever killed the wolf isn't figured out, we still gather important data about wolf populations in our area and in Minnesota, he shared. Since it's believed the wolves were likely killed in November when they were still considered and protected species in Minnesota, the penalty could be up to 6 months in jail and up to a $250 fine.
Not enough.
It's not enough. If anyone knows anything about either of these two cases, please, you're asked to call the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources Poacher Line. And I'll just say the number. It's 800-652-9093. Also, in a press release from the Center for Biological Diversity dated February 1st, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service ignores Biden executive order to review Trump wolf delisting.
Just
Exactly. And I'll explain that really quickly here. Washington, just 1 week after President Biden ordered a broad review of the Trump administration's anti-wildlife policies, including the decision to strip Endangered Species Act protections from gray wolves, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service summary asserted on February 1st that the previous administration's decision to delist the gray wolf was valid. So they're not listening to the Biden administration saying that we want these wolves on the endangered species list, but they are listening to the previous administration, the Trump administration, to say they should be off the endangered species list. So what they're doing now is the biological diversity group here is gathering science, right? So Biden listens to science, and hopefully the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service will also listen to science. So what I'm asking people to do is to contact the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and tell them that you want them to listen to Biden and the science and why the wolves should remain and be put back on the endangered species list. So that's what we're asking that to do. So even those wolves up north were killed while they were on the endangered species list. So just think what's going to happen when they're off the endangered species list, which they are right now.
Well, what's crazy about that story, Wendy, is that they were tagged and monitored, and I mean,
the Voyager project was monitoring them, their weight, where they roam, how they migrate, what they eat, how they're killing other prey, what they're doing,
and they were just slaughtered.
They were slaughtered and thrown in the river for no other reason than to kill an animal.
Yeah.
It's sad. It really is. So we need to put them back on the endangered species list. I mean, I want our grandchildren to be able to hear and see a wolf in the wild and not have to see it in a zoo behind a cage.
Or fake animated animal
exactly.
in a movie.
Exactly.
You know. Well, Wendy, again, you know, Pini Gigi for bringing this up.
Mm-hmm.
I know you told me a little bit about this before the show, and I was like, oh, wow, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
You know, so maybe Fridays we can have Happy Fridays.
We'll have Happy Friday, definitely.
But it's only Wednesday, so
I know.
Hey,
okay.
More to it, right?
Well, we'll see what I find for tomorrow.
Great show today.
Mm-hmm.
Just want to give you a shout out, give Ogma a shout out, give Winona LaDuke a big shout out, Robert Blake with his positivity and his great news, give him a shout out.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's been just a joy to do this show, Wendy,
mm-hmm.
and I really feel blessed to be able to do this show and do it with you, and something that we can do together,
mm-hmm.
and so I'm excited. But I would like to end with these thoughts.
All right.
Hey, I just hit the music.
There you go.
Hey, I would like to end with these thoughts. If you're listening to this show, you are part of the resistance. The ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, and run for office. Pini Gigi to Wendy, Ogama, Winona LaDuke, and Bob Blake. If you're listening to the show, you are the resistance. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
Free Leonard Peltier.